Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor for the Union Tribune. Well, Jay, what'd you do this weekend?
Well, I will say I had a better weekend than the Padres. Even though part of my weekend involved watching the Padres, I went to the game on Saturday, and a friend was kind enough to invite us to sit in his company seats five rows off the field next to the Dodger dugout. So I had a really good view of one of the three butt kickings that the Dodgers put on the Padres. The Padres actually had a lead in that game. That was the one game where they even scored against a Dodgers starting pitcher. Of course, they needed help from the Dodgers to do that, although they did get a couple of key hits in that inning and good situational hitting. I mean, that was like the one inning maybe all weekend where they looked like they could play with the Dodgers, because the rest of the time they sure didn't. And it was, I guess it was quite a reality. I mean, I saw your quotes from the Padres, exactly what I would expect them to say. You know, what are they going to say? Hey, they're better than us. You know, they're always going to beat us. You know, you're not going to get professional athletes to say that, nor would you want them to. They're always going to believe in themselves. But I got to tell you, it's pretty hard to believe in a whole lot right now when it comes to the Padres, you know, against the Dodgers. And I tweeted this after the game last night. They're now 2-8 this year, as you know. They've been outscored 55-18 in those games, which means in 10 games they've scored 18 runs, and at least three of them were unearned, the ones on Saturday. And remember, they lost the last nine last year as well, 51-22. So some quick math tells me that that's 106-40 while going 2-17. So it's tough to say, hey, everything's going to be okay, because I don't know how you could believe that it is going to be okay, other than, you know, it's baseball and things happen and all that kind of stuff. But right now, the Dodgers sure look to be a lot better than the Padres when they play head-to-head.
Right. And look, a win's a win, but remember what it took to win. If I'm not mistaken, and I've had quite a morning, so I don't have it here, but maybe you can tell I'm in a different place than normal, but I think it was a walk-off or a late win. It was 3-2 when they beat the Dodgers in the middle. It was the 10th inning in the middle game of the first series here at Petco Park. Then it was four runs in the ninth inning to come back, the only runs they scored in the game, to beat the Dodgers in the final game of the series before this one. So again, a win's a win. They got those two wins, but they have not really been in any of these games, except I guess the one in the 10th inning. They did have the lead. They lost the lead. They took it back, if my memory serves. But the point is, the Dodgers have, as if the stats you gave don't show it, they have absolutely dominated this team. So,
yeah, there was one other game, was 3-1. I can't remember the details. It was the first game, I think, in L.A. But, yeah, I mean, the other games, you know, like 6-1, 10-2, 5-1. I mean, they're just all blowouts. And even if they're not blowouts against the starter, like yesterday, you know, Yu Darvish, you're not going to – that's pretty good. He pitched six innings against a fantastic lineup that's red hot right now. And, you know, he gave up two runs. I mean, you could say – well, yeah, but one of them, look at the guys who beat him, Cody Bellinger of all people. But that's what the Dodgers do, especially against the Padres. I mean, as I said last night, I mean, Max Muncy on Saturday and Bellinger last night, I'm still shocked that Joey Gallo didn't do something in this
series. If you remember the last series, that happened too. It was the bottom of their lineup last series. Now, the top of their lineup was absolutely incredible the first two games this weekend. But that kind of goes without saying, right? Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith.
But
the bottom of the lineup, they're the lineup the Padres think they have. Like, I'm almost embarrassed for the Padres to say that they think they have that lineup. But you look at the names in the Padres lineup now, and it sounds so much better. I yesterday was taking a between innings, you know, restroom break, and Charlie Steiner said, you know, do up for the Padres. And I forget what he said, but I do know that it was the three names. It was like Machado, Drury, Cronenworth. And I'm like, that's pretty good, right? Yeah. Soto, Machado, Josh Bell. That's pretty good. That's better than what it was for a bit, where your cleanup hitter was Jorge Alfaro or Nomar Mazara for a week.
Yeah.
So it should be a better lineup. It should be a deeper lineup. And I certainly am not like one of the emails that I'm getting that these guys are now the Angels South. There was quite a few this morning. Got my first yesterday before the game. And then quite a few this morning that this team is, you know, it was a terrible trade deadline and all that. That's, you know, it's been five games. But, wow, well, it's just bad.
Well, it just go, you know, we joke, and I think I joke about it more than you do, that whatever the Padres do, whoever they trade for, you put someone in the San Diego uniform and something happens to them. And for the most part, they get worse. They don't perform like they used to perform. Now, Juan Soto is still getting on base quite a bit. And Josh Bell had a couple hits, you know, here and there. But, you know, neither of those guys, you would say, is sort of dominating at this point. I mean, Soto's been more impressive really walking than anything. And one of his outs the other night was on Saturday night, I remember, was really crushed. But, you know, so Soto is going to be he's Soto. He's doing what he's doing. Josh Bell hasn't made much of an impact. Brandon Drury obviously had the grand slam in his first at bat against the Rockies. He should have had another home run the next day. It took a great catch to rob him of that. But there's just something. It's like you put anybody in a Padre uniform, and especially against the Dodgers, and nothing happens. They just look overmatched. And you know, the Dodgers, I thought, had a pitching advantage in the first game up there because they were pitching Tony Gonsolin, who, if there was a playoff series between these teams, he would be one of the starters. Sean Manaea would not. Saturday, Mike Clevinger, who was really good except for three pitches. But the problem is three pitches was enough. And one of the pitches really wasn't that bad. Will Smith just kind of beat him. But the two home runs were just horrible, horrible pitches. And I really questioned his pitch selection, especially to Muncy. And maybe it's the execution like you wrote about, because he had struck out Muncy before. But it just seems like there's less margin for error when you're throwing a yes. breaking ball as opposed to a fastball. If you throw a breaking ball and make a mistake, chances are it's going to end up over the wall. You throw a fastball and make a mistake, it's a little harder for a guy to really do damage with it. And Muncy's a horrible hitter right now, especially against fastballs. And, you know, I just thought he gave him a break there by throwing him a slider, and obviously he didn't want to put it there. But, on Sunday, you had Tyler Anderson, who would be starting a game, and Yu Darvish, who would be starting in the playoffs. Andrew Heaney on Saturday probably won't be in the playoffs, especially if Walker Buehler's back, and they may even have Dustin May back by that point. And they're still going to get Blake Treinen back for their bullpen. So it's not like the Dodgers are doing this at full strength. I mean, they started Joey Gallo in two of the games, and they still, you know, they still buried the Padres. I guess what I'm getting at is I don't know what the answer is. I don't know that there's, you know, and everybody always wants to look to who's to blame. I don't know who's to blame. I guess it's the players are to blame. They need to play better against the Dodgers. I'm not sure what else to say. I mean, you know, it's not like Bob Melvin can go out there and hit for him, or Ruben Able can, you know, go out there and throw the pitch for him. I mean, I guess they just need to perform better, or maybe they're just not as good as the Dodgers. Maybe that's the bottom line.
Or, and maybe, you know, their starting pitching is going through a little bit of a downtime right now, and they faced the Dodgers and they got beat. I'm kind of tired of making what sounds like excuses for them. You know, the Yankees lost five in a row. The Brewers, you know, seem to have given away the season.
Which is a good thing for the Padres.
Look, we'll talk about that. It's not just, you know, gosh, where will they be in the playoffs? It's will they be in the playoffs? And I do think that they will, but it's not as sure. But I was just saying that, like, you know, teams go through downtimes. Well, the Padres' downtime, I mean, pick when it started, right? End of May, right. Middle of June. I'll say middle of June because they started out really well in June. So, okay, fine. Middle of June, end of June, start of July, middle of July. Pick your starting time. I defy you. Pick your starting time from June 15th on. The Padres do not have a winning record in that period. Like, that's how bad it's been. There isn't, you know, it's unreal how bad they've been. They did win five in a row.
Yep.
It did get to five, right? I'm going to check myself. This team won five in a row? Whoa.
I know. It's hard sometimes to remember that, and it's hard sometimes to remember they're still 61-50. you know, going forward. And there's what does that mean? There's 51 games left in the season. The good news for the Padres is out of those 51 games, you know, they get the Nationals 7 times, they get the Diamondbacks 7 times. There's a couple other bad teams thrown in. The bad thing is they get the Dodgers 9 more times. So they really, I think it does make these other games against team, and the Giants are part of that as well, starting tonight at Petco. It's these games become to me a little bit more important because you've got that in, you've got to think there's still 9 games left against the Dodgers, and you can't count on, you like to say, yeah, you can count on the Padres winning 3 or 4. You can't count on the Padres winning any of those games. I mean, it doesn't mean they won't, but you can't sit here and say, oh yeah, the Padres are going to win some of those games. The law of averages tells you, of course they are. But then you watch the games and you think, gosh, I don't know. Maybe they could pull out one or two. It sounds crazy to think, but I mean, that's sort of where they are right now. And I think it's very important they take advantage of the schedule that's coming up here in the next couple of weeks. You know, Giants, Nationals, Marlins, Nationals, over the next 2 weeks. Those are all teams that the Padres are better than.
I agree. It's like, I don't think you can count on the Padres for anything at this point. And to me, it's preposterous to think that they wouldn't play better, have better results against the Nationals, the Marlins, and the Diamondbacks, you know, the teams that they're mostly playing coming up, the Royals. They've got some of the worst teams in the league and a good number of games against them.
Absolutely. But, yeah, the Guardians, they have 2 with Cleveland. But other than that, the Giants are the next best team I think they play until they see the Dodgers again, really.
Yeah, so it's very – the Dodgers are incredible. Like, they really are, and I feel like maybe we could put them – we could shelve the topic for a little bit and see how the Padres play over the next few weeks. Because if what you're going to do right now is compare these two teams, then it's like I'm always looking for that pot of gold or something. You know, I'm living on a rainbow. But the Braves won 88 games last year and beat the Dodgers in the NLCS. Bob Melvin said it last night. I don't even remember the question that prompted it. I asked it. It wasn't this. It was like Bob Melvin wanted to say it. The Dodgers are too far ahead of us. We need to concentrate on playing well going into the postseason. We need to get to the postseason. And that, you know, a lot of times teams that have to battle to get in the postseason are in a good position. Okay, wishful thinking also can be true. So I have a hard time believing. I just do. I have a hard time believing the Padres are this bad. I also have a hard time believing them that it's not in their head a little bit and that it won't be the next time they play the Dodgers.
No, right?
So both are true. And by the way, if I could defend whatever, Manny Machado is Manny Machado. He's Manny bleeping Machado. And part of the reason he is because he believes that. So anybody who kind of doesn't understand that and doesn't understand that that's the reason that he's as good as he is and plays as much as he is and plays at the high level he does and at times carries this team for a month, it's because he believes in his head. I wish he'd say it more often. He believes in his head that he's Manny bleeping Machado. So,
and I do think that it will be probably a lot more fair maybe to judge this team over the next couple of weeks when they are playing teams that and if they're not playing any better against these kind of teams. It's one thing to not play well against the Dodgers and say, and it's like, okay, well, they're up against really good competition. If the struggles continue and they can't put together something here, you know, in the next three and a half weeks before they see the Dodgers again, then I think there's you could have some real doubts at that point. I mean, obviously they're going to get Tatis. Well, you would think they're going to get Tatis back at some point during, you know, fairly soon in the next week, maybe by this time next week, they can get him back. But these other guys and everybody else on the team, you would expect to see better results the next 3 days against the Giants. And then, you know, like we said, 7 out of 10 after that or against the Nationals. So I just think that there's a situation there where we can see what they do against a little bit lesser competition. I mean, I hate to use horse racing analogies because most people don't follow it, but you know, it's like if you're running races against horses like Secretariat all the time, you're going to look worse than if you're running against, you know, horses that you see in the second race on a Thursday at Del Mar that aren't as good. You should look better against those horses. And that's where I think the Padres are over the next 3 weeks. They're playing against horses that aren't necessarily, you know, stakes quality like the Dodgers are.
That, I think that's an excellent point. And you're measured against who you're playing that day. Now, one last thing on the Dodgers, and Bob Melvin kept saying it. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, the players have to say what they're saying and believe what they believe. And, you know, look, some of them are basically acknowledging that the Dodgers are a little bit in their head by saying we need to stop thinking about the Dodgers so much. That's another way to say it. But one thing that Bob Melvin said a couple times is that the Dodgers are really good, but we have the kind of team now that should play better against them. That is absolutely true. Yes. Okay. This is not to excuse, oh, hey, the Dodgers are good. Let's not. No. It's that they should be better than this. But right now, they're not. Right now, they need to figure out how to have more innings like they had that one that you referred to where they scored the 3 runs on Saturday night, where, yes, they got some help on a play. But then Jake Cronenworth, who has somewhat acknowledged that, you know, he's been pressing a little bit, like a lot of guys in this lineup. He's got, at that time, it was Will coming up behind him, or maybe it was Drury and then Will, or maybe that night he was behind, He was in front of Drury or whatever. But he said, I knew that all I needed to do was to get that ball to the right side and bring in a run. I could pass the torch. That's not what he said, but that's what he meant, you know? Yeah. And boom, then Will Myers got a single. That's what they should be able to do now. In addition to maybe hitting the occasional home run, that's what they should be able to do now. That's what we should see over the next several days.
Yeah, I mean, they faced good pitching over the weekend, but they didn't see Julio Urias over the weekend, and they didn't see Kershaw over the weekend, and they certainly didn't see guys like, if you're going to get to the playoffs, and I'm not sure who they're going to end up, you know, facing, but they didn't see Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom and those type of pitchers either. So they're, you're right. I mean, that you can't say that, yeah, they should beat the Dodgers, but they certainly have the team. And they made all these deals so that they could be competitive with the Dodgers. And right now, head to head, they're not competitive with the Dodgers. Now, the good thing for them is they don't play the Dodgers for another 3.5 weeks. So that's a lot of games between now and then against teams that are nowhere near as good as the Dodgers, for them to show that they are what they think they are and what they say they are and what most of us think they are. So, you know, it's sort of like, all right, let's see what happens now, you know, over these next 3.5 weeks until they go back to LA.
Yeah. And then you get a lot of days off in September and you play the Dodgers 9 times in like whatever it is, 22 games or something. So we have a lot of time to worry about that.
So they better build up. They better build up some wins.
Now, one thing that we do need to address here is the starting rotation. When you got Yu Darvish and Blake Snell as your best pitchers over the last few weeks, and that's not how you want to be. Now, there's never been. I shouldn't say never. I've never covered a rotation that goes through a season with just guys going, you know, 6 and 7 innings, every single guy in the rotation for a long time. But Sean Manaea is worrisome. And look, he said it the other night. I'm going to write about it tonight probably, maybe for tomorrow's newsletter because he starts – no, I'll write about it the next day because he starts the finale.
Right.
He'd rather maybe have some more middling type of starts rather than the kind, you know, all these 6 and 7 innings where he gives up 2 runs or 1 run and then 3 innings where he gives up 6. There is not another pitcher in the major leagues with as many quality starts as Sean Manaea, 14. Okay. There's like 16 pitchers that have done that. So there's not another starting pitcher that has had as many good outings as him who has also had the number of bad outings. And when I say bad, fewer than 5 innings, 4 or more runs. He's had 5 of those. None of those other pitchers have had more than 2, and only one of them has had more than 1. It is terrible. It is it is, and it's more frequent recently too. It's kind of like every other one or one out of three. And that's a problem. Okay, fine. All right, then Sean Manaea won't be on the playoff rotation. Maybe won't be on the playoff roster. Okay, so, well, then Mike Clevinger, who is pitching well, gets blown up. Uh-oh, Joe Musgrove, he gets blown up a few times. He's got like a 7-plus ERA over his last five starts. I think that, you know, definitely something to watch.
One of the things that comes to mind is how much of this can be attributed to switching off the and losing a day of some of these guys are losing a day of rest now, and they can easily say, hey, that's not, because you know what they're going to say, it's not a big deal. But I just wonder if that has anything to do with it, and that, you know, these guys were stronger when and pitching some most of them were pitching better when they had the extra day's rest. Although it doesn't, Snell certainly seems to have pitched better. And I don't think it's bad if Blake Snell's your second best pitcher, as long as it's the Blake Snell that, you know, that we're seeing
that every time is going to be that guy.
It's going to be exactly. So if it's not that, I don't know what it is. I mean, the one thing is they basically are starting the same rotation pretty much all year that these guys are around. I mean, obviously Gore made a lot of starts and Martinez made some, but they're pretty set with this rotation here. And there's not a lot of options outside of these guys. I mean, I think you addressed it today in the newsletter about Nick Martinez is probably not an option to come back and start, later in the year. But I don't know. I don't think there's anything else behind them. I mean, Reese Kinnear comes up to pitch those doubleheader games. I don't think he's an answer. Reese Kinnear shouldn't be better than these five guys that they have right now. Like we talked about, I mean, these guys have to be better. Darvish continues to be pretty good, time in and out, and Snell the same way. Musgrove is, to me, a big concern because he has not pitched well for about a month now. I think he's had one good start out of his last five or six, and without having it in front of me. And you talked about Manaea and Clevinger always looks like he's on the edge of having a really good start, and he kind of did the other night, and he was rattled a little bit early, but he pitched really well there for a few innings. And then, the one inning happens where, he gives up the home run and all of a sudden there goes the game. So they have got to be better. And look at Luis Garcia. I mean, Melvin goes to him in the seventh inning yesterday. I could see what he was thinking. It's 2-0. I'm not going to screw around. I'm going to my best guy here in the seventh. And if I have to, I'm going to go to Josh Hader in the eighth. Or maybe Garcia goes two innings, and I'm going to keep this thing as close as I can, and I'm going to hope that we can get Craig Kimbrell to blow up again. And instead, it's Garcia who, blows up and gives up two runs at like sort of just the wrong time, which pretty much, that was the game right there.
Yeah, that was Garcia. That was classic Garcia, because I was like, man, who'd he strike out the first guy? It was like really good pitch.
And tremendous pitch, yeah.
Garcia, wow. He's on a roll. Bomb. Cody Bellinger, man, he'd like to play the Padres all the time.
I know.
I look, Musgrove, and I talked to him yesterday, and I half expected him to acknowledge that it had worn him down. He didn't. Zero excuses. It's been a long month for Joe Musgrove, okay? This is why he said he didn't want the whole thing to drag out. The whole All-Star game deal, contract, press conference, the whole deal, I think it's a little, I'm not saying you are, I'm saying a little early to pull the panic, but as a part of the concern, Joe Musgrove is a part of the concern because of what has been happening lately. They are, as far as the shorter rest, they are figuring out what to do. You know, you've got your regular middle of the season aches and pains and stuff like that. And then you've got, it's only been a couple times. Joe's only done it once. Sean Manaea maybe three times, but they had the All-Star break in there. Obviously, it hasn't affected Darvish. Clevinger's done it a couple times. So it doesn't explain the whole thing back to July 10th, this going on 4 days rest now. But they are trying to figure out how to make those adjustments. Maybe it's a little bit less rest. Joe was talking about not throwing a bullpen between this start, last start and this start. Catch and working on some stuff. You got to try to figure out how to adjust as your season schedule has been adjusted. Also, remember that this was 15 games in 14 days. they start to get some more off days coming up.
Well, I was just about to say he does get an extra day before he starts tomorrow. Blake Snell is tonight, Musgrove tomorrow, Manaea on Wednesday. Those guys will get an extra day before their next start because of the off day on Thursday. So that means that Darvish and Clevenger will also have an extra. Everybody will get an extra day at this point before they pitch against either Washington or Miami on the next road trip. So we'll see if that has any difference. And now then I think they all have to make one more turn then on 4 days rest, and then they get some days off. There's that weird series with Cleveland.
Yeah.
It has days off on either side of it. There's a day off between San Francisco and LA. There will be some more days off, you know, coming up. So we'll see. I don't think it's time to panic over this rotation, but I do think that there are a couple guys to be concerned about. You know, the bullpen, it's sort of tiring to think about who's coming back and when they're coming back until they actually get back. And Tatis, you know, sort of the we've talked about all along, the biggest acquisition of them all, you know, has played in what, just two games so far in San Antonio. It sounds like they're committed to giving him pretty much the whole week down there. I guess some of it will depend on how it's going. I think that so far he's had a couple of walks, a couple of strikeouts, nothing terribly eventful so far. So he definitely needs to be in a little more of a groove before they can get him back. Although you could also argue that playing against the Nationals is like playing in AAA anyway. So maybe they decide that Friday he could be ready to come back. And yeah, that was a cheap shot, but
you know, man, they're bad.
They deserve it. They just got, I mean, the Phillies just scored, I think, like 22 or 23 runs off them in the two games over the weekend. So
a couple more than the Dodgers scored?
Yeah, just a couple. No, they only did it in two games, though. The Dodgers beat them three.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, so what we got tonight is Alex Wood and Blake Snell. Tomorrow, Alex Cobb and Joe Musgrove. And then Jacob Junis and Sean Manaea. I'm sorry. I have a busy weekend. I did not keep up on the Giants. I do think that they're not playing maybe as poorly as they were, because they got swept by, just like the Padres, they got swept in four games by the Dodgers before this weekend. They now have a losing record, something like five games under. They are not one of the seven teams that appears to be in playoff contention, though they didn't, you know, throw in the white towel by or the white flag by, you know, surrendering at the trade players at the trade deadline. But they do not seem to be, you know, what we thought they were earlier in the season. And they get to miss they get to miss Webb, the Padres do.
And they miss Rodon, too.
And they miss Rodon.
So that's a break as well. The Giants are 53-55.
It's two games under.
Right now. Huh? They've won that goal. They were four under, and they won their last two over the weekend. They are 5-5 in their last 10. So, I mean, they're not – the Giants are not – the Giants, believe me, are not saying they're at the level of the Nationals. You know, by any means, or even the level of the Marlins, they still have a positive run differential for the season. It's only 10 runs below where the Padres are actually for the season. So it's not like the Padres can just show up and, hey, we're going to sweep the Giants. But again, this is just the start of a stretch where they're playing teams that all have losing records, with the exception of those two games against Cleveland in a couple weeks. But the next 2 weeks are nothing but teams with losing records.
Jay, before we go, what is your thought? 1.5 game up on the Brewers. Is it even in the realm of possibility that the Padres don't make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible, but it's I would say, I think I read somewhere over the weekend, there's still somewhere like 85 to 90%, you know, calculations to make the playoffs. I'm still going to be shocked if they don't. The Brewers seem to be sliding right now, you know, and they probably weren't too enthused when they gave up Josh. Their players weren't too enthused when they gave up Josh Hader. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, one of those teams isn't going to make the playoffs. And right now, the Cardinals and the Phillies are certainly playing better than the Padres are.
I'm with you, Jay, because the 30-minute tone has passed. I'm with you, but I'll say this: if they don't, there are fewer answers as to why than last year. Like, there's you're not jettisoning the manager. You're not saying they don't have enough good players. Like,
right.
I can't even think about them not making the playoffs because they're, I don't know what to do in October. Like, except,
well, 'cause you
like,
can't
relegate them.
Well, because you couldn't think about what to say about why they missed the playoffs, other than their players underachieved to a massive extent.
And and that's what I'll write, and I'll come up with something, and I'll figure it out. But like at this point, I'm thinking, how could it even be possible? But here we are with they haven't turned it around, and they're only a game and a half up on the team that is on the outside looking in. So that's where we're at. Thank you, everybody.
Talk to you Friday.